Hi, and welcome to the Church for the Highlands podcast. You are receiving this Sunday's sermon in advance. I'm preaching a flipped sermon, one much like a flipped lesson plan for school. The way it works is that you get the content ahead of time in order to use the classroom time for discussion and application. What I will do during my sermon time is to facilitate dialogue and discussion with you about the text and the sermon, which, by the way, for this Pentecost Sunday is, of course, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, the account of the giving of the Holy Spirit to the church. In essence, you get to do the preaching. Flipping out yet? Well, with this Sunday being Pentecost, I couldn't think of a better Sunday when we can all flip out maybe just a little bit. Some steps of preparation would be, number one, pray that God will speak to you through the scripture that you are about to hear and about to read. Number two, read Acts 2, verses 1 through 21. Three, as you read this, write down any questions, thoughts, any reactions that you have. And finally, four, be ready to enter the dialogue during the sermon time in worship. But no worries, I won't call on anyone to speak. And so now for the sermon for this Sunday. Years ago, as churches and denominations were beginning to enter the digital age, a Baptist agency began posting a pastorless church list, which was helpful to search committees who were looking for a pastor, as well as to pastors who were looking for pastor search committees. You could go to a certain website and download the list, which was updated almost every month. It would list the name of the pastorless church, what the church size and budget were, and some note about where the pastor went from there or why he left to begin with. I remember seeing one church on the list who filled in the last category with Pastor Went Pentecostal. That's all it said. And that's all you needed to know, that the pastor's departure was probably not his own choice. Something changed in him that hadn't changed in the church. He had gone Pentecostal. Things happened. As we read the scripture for this Pentecostal Sunday, we can make our own note that this was a church, not just a pastor or individual, that had gone Pentecostal. Reading, hearing, and understanding what happened to them as the Spirit showed up in them provides our church today with some indicators as to whether or not we've gone Pentecostal. The first one shows up the most when we understand the Spirit-community connection. Luke reported in verse 1 how they were all together in one place, even though they were together for an annual religious gathering, which was the celebration of the giving of the law. It would be wrong to miss what else Luke is describing and emphasizing, the corporate aspect to the reception of the Holy Spirit. This becomes more obvious with a reading of Acts in its totality. It is about the acts of the Spirit through the church, not just individuals who were acting for God. The Spirit entered their place where they were all gathered. The Spirit, though applying fire to each individual to have, was given to the whole. This happened just as Jesus had told them as a group. As we think of our church today, how well do we get this Spirit-community connection? Are we a church of individuals who serve God individually, or are we individuals who serve God as a community? Do we gather in a place each week to seek what the Spirit has for us individually? Or do we gather to see what God can do with us as a group? It seems so easy to get hung up on the fascination of tiny fires atop our individual heads rather than seeing the blazing fire we create when we put our heads together. I would like for us to explore this connection more deeply as we roll into the summer months, considering and even practicing more deeply what it means for us to act as one body that is filled with the Spirit. The more we can do this, the greater our indicator of being a Pentecostal church. But there is another indicator here, which has to do with emotions and reactions. Luke reported that the people gathered in the room that day were astonished, bewildered, amazed and perplexed. The meaning behind the words Luke used meant that they were taken aback and that they were caught off guard by the movement of the Spirit among them. Imagine for a moment what it would have been like being a part of a dangerous minority group who continues to follow an executed leader who is believed to have resurrected from the dead. You are gathered in a room, wondering how you will ever have the power to continue on for even one more day, feeling completely drained and weak, only to know and to now have a rushing wind blow through the room. Once the refreshment of the wind has set in, you feel the heat of the flames of the Spirit as they rest on, and soon within, you and your neighbor. You leave the room amazed and bewildered to find that other people are too, and they're also bewildered and amazed as you hear them speaking in their own language. Your tongue is moving, but now in a different language. The good news about your Jesus is now becoming good news for other people as well. Amazed and perplexed, hardly explain what is going on in and around them at this point. Could these same adjectives, astonished, bewildered, amazed, and perplexed, describe how we respond to the Holy Spirit as a church today? There is a quote from A.W. Tozier that unfortunately rings true in many churches. I remind you that there are churches who so completely are out of the hands of God that if the Holy Spirit withdrew from them, they wouldn't find it out for many months. It is horrible to think this could be true of any church, but isn't it in many churches that we have been in before? As for Church for the Highlands, how can we be sure that we never cease to be caught off guard by the Spirit of God, to be taken aback by the fresh wind of the Spirit in our midst? As you think about the summer ahead and the new fiscal year we begin July 1st, consider what we can look like if we fully allow ourselves to be amazed and perplexed by the Holy Spirit in our midst. An additional indicator of a Pentecostal church for us to consider is openness. A church touched by the fire of Pentecost is open to the Spirit for the purpose of serving as a conduit of God's movement in the world. The disciples of Jesus gathered in the room that day that the Spirit showed up. They suddenly turned not into receptacles, but conduits of God's activity in the world. Their tongues were used to share the good news of Jesus with people from nations all around the world. Their bodies were used in service to their Savior. Their young men would see visions, their old men would dream dreams, and slaves would prophesy. God turned His church into a living vessel that He would fill and pour out onto a world in need. Thomas Merton wrote about what it means to receive the Holy Spirit, that it is by desiring to grow in love that we receive the Holy Spirit, and the thirst for more charity is the effect of this more abundant reception. Our openness to the Holy Spirit involves us in a never-ending love affair with the world around us, rather than an obsession with the world that we have created within us. God's Spirit continues to do the same kind of work with the church of today. Here at Church for the Highlands, we have been placed at a point of tremendous need. In fact, the needs and opportunities for service are so overwhelming that we could never meet them on our own. Without the Spirit residing in and flowing through us, we are about as effective as the Dead Sea is in giving life to those around it. As a church, we must watch out for the things that stop up the Spirit's intended flow through us into the thirsty areas of our neighborhood. We must never become content in being a receptacle. How will we share the good news of Jesus and prophesy with our tongues? And how will we use our body for service, allow our eyes to see visions and to dream dreams? As a diehard Apple devotee, it is hard for me to read about what Apple stocks are doing. A recent article in USA Today Money section reported that the Apple stock crash is reaching a historic order of magnitude, shaking the faith of investors who piled on in large part because of Jobs' showmanship. Shares are down 44%, and the crash has obliterated $291.2 billion in shareholder wealth. Well, what has precipitated Apple's stock crash? The causes may be complex, but the article focused on one primary factor, the death of co-founder Steve Jobs on October 5, 2011. Apple isn't the only company that has struggled in the absence of a successful CEO. Research has shown the fact that a sick or dying CEO is generally a big problem right away for stocks. The article noted that when a CEO leaves a company, the short-term stock turns into a long-term disappointment. In contrast, the last time Apple was in serious trouble, Jobs was there to move the company forward with fresh energy and vision. But without Jobs, as one prominent stock analyst contends, Apple is becoming just another stock, and that the phenomenon of Apple is unwinding. Aren't you glad this didn't happen with the first church that Jesus started? I'm sure the first Christians wondered at times about what they would do without their CEO, but he made certain that what he had organized would continue with sustainable energy and vision to change the world. Our Pentecost text for this Sunday has reminded us how the church came alive with the Spirit, but also how the church stays alive with the Spirit. As we remember our origins as a church, may we too give visible indications that we are a Pentecostal church.